As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hi, I'm Keith Law, and welcome to episode 36 of The Keith Law Show. My guest today is Seattle Mariners outfield prospect Taylor Trammell. We'll get to him in just a moment. A couple of very, very quick things. If you're looking for my free agent rankings, they will appear 2 days after the World Series ends. So at some point later this week, I guess it's going to be Thursday or Friday by definition, my ranking of the top 40 free agents for this winter with capsule scouting reports on each of them will be up for subscribers to The Athletic. I will have another podcast next week, but I will actually technically be on vacation at that point. We're going to just record it ahead of time, but I will at least have that free agent ranking. It'll go up while I'm technically off duty.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Now it's my pleasure to be joined by Taylor Trammell. He's an outfielder now with the Seattle Mariners. He's been with a couple other organizations, started with Cincinnati, traded to San Diego, just traded to Seattle this past summer. Taylor wrote an amazing editorial for the Players Tribune on September 8th with the great headline, "Baseball is not black enough." And as soon as I saw that, I said, I want to have Taylor on to talk about that. So first of all, Taylor, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So I want to start with one of the things you said at the very end of the piece, because I think it's really the crux of your argument. You said, and we need more black players on the field. What are we waiting for? So start from there. Where are we failing as an industry in terms of getting black players, even just into minor league baseball? Never mind the majors, but just getting them on the field at the minor league level.
Yeah. So, you know, I think probably made one of the points in the article is that baseball, well, for me, it's not boring, but for a lot of other people, you know, there's no excitement with it. There's no emotion with the game. There is if you actually watch it, but for the most part, you know, comparing it to say football, or basketball, or soccer, or any of these other sports, we're looking at them and big plays happen. Everybody's going crazy. You see it now in the World Series, you know, mm-hmm. You see it now in the playoffs, and now with the, I don't want to say, it's always weird to say it, but like the new wave of players that are coming up, you know, baseball is fun. You know, baseball is a game that is obviously, I play it, so I have a totally different perspective. But at the same time, I also have friends and families and associates who don't play the sport, who would much rather not just watch, you know, Thursday night football rather than the World Series, you know. And it's this thing about I think a lot of times people put the tag on baseball as I said earlier, boring, as kind of like follow these rules, like step by step. You know, if you hit a home run, you can't look at it or, you know, show any emotions, or the pitcher is going to, you know, hit you, or, you know, you're going to have a bad rep within the league or anything like that. And you're seeing it now with a lot more of these players. And honestly, you're seeing it and you're just like, wow, okay, like this game is fun. I remember the commercial with MLB. It was the commercial with the playoffs, and they had like all these guys. DJ Khaled is he's narrating this whole thing. Like, you're seeing all of these players from different backgrounds, and I'm looking at these guys. I'm like, okay, like this is where we need to go, I'm going to be the first one to tell you, when I first, we did the Players Tribune, I didn't know what the headline was going to be. And so when I actually saw it, my heart completely dropped for a second. And I was just like, oh, wow. Okay. I was like, you know, at first I knew like there was going to be some people who were obviously going to not, you know, care for it, for that, you know, headline or anything like that. And then, obviously, you know, people, I don't, well, I had to turn off my tags on like Twitter and Instagram because, you know, they're like, my phone was blowing up. And so, like, you know, obviously when I woke up at the time, I saw a lot of the comments and everything like that. And I was just like, oh, okay. I wasn't hurt or anything like that. I was more of like, oh, okay. And I'm trying to see different perspectives from people, but you know, that's what I've lived through and that's what I've seen. And so, you know, certain people were saying like, you know, well, football's not wide enough, or basketball's not wide enough. And they're saying these things. And so, you know, I had a lot of things to say, not really a lot of things to say, but, you know, a lot of things that were going through my mind were like, well, you guys have the same opportunities. I like to think things through whenever I talk this on.
Sure. It's a tough topic, too. People don't like talking about this.
Yeah, and it's weird to me. I don't know why that people don't like talking about it, because I don't know if it's – I don't know. It's weird because I'm fine with it, but baseball is expensive as well.
Mm.
And so I know from me growing up, my parents sacrificed a lot to get where I'm at, where I am right now. I'm not saying that there are other families that wouldn't sacrifice, but, you know, if, you know, somebody were to say, hey, like – you're a great athlete, man. Like we really want you to come out and, you know, try out for our AAU basketball team or our basketball program or football program. And say basketball, for example. Oh, what do I need? I need some sneakers and pay like a down payment. Like we'll get the basketballs for you and everything like that. And so it's a no-brainer from going from, hey, you know, we have these, we need new cleats. We need new gloves that are expensive. You need batting gloves if you don't want your, you know, most of the time some guys don't know BGs, but you know, for me, I get blisters. I have to wear batting gloves. And then, you know, bats, change of regulations every year, with just the expense of all this stuff. And then, if you want to get exposure, you have to play travel ball. You have to go all across the country and do all of this stuff to get exposure to, you know, for scouts to see you. And honestly, really comes down to scholarships, getting your college paid for. And some of the guys can't afford that. You know, what is it? It's 11.7 scholarships that are given out for baseball.
Yeah, and it is atrociously low. And I have Scott Boras, for one, has said publicly and privately to me, he said over the years, he said, that really affects a lot of black players because it cuts off one possible avenue for them to play rather than going to play pro ball. And he's argued, put more scholarships there, we might have a better chance to keep black players who might have choices with the other sports, like you were describing, cheaper to play the other sports, and there are just more scholarships available.
Absolutely. And, you know, college is expensive. Everybody knows that. But, you know, at the same time, like, if you get a scholarship, it's like, I got friends that are playing college football that are going to graduate with no type of debt or anything like that. And they were great at baseball, but they just were like, well, why am I going to put my family through that? You know, I have 2, 3, 4 other brothers and sisters. Like, it's a no-brainer at this point. Mm-hmm. At this point, like, why am I even going to try and play baseball? And my parents still have to come out of pocket when I could get a football scholarship or a basketball scholarship or any type of other scholarship and have that paid for. And, you know, for me, I think the biggest thing is, yeah, I stand true to what, you know, the article, the headline was, but, you know, baseball is not black enough. But honestly, I love the game. I love this game so much. I really do. And the thing is that I want the best players out there. And I'm not saying that, you know, the best players are black. I'm not saying that by any means or no type of way. I'm saying we need to make it fair for everybody else to have the same opportunities to get these type of ways, because I think of it as a, I think of it as an avenue for a lot of players to, you know, wherever they come from, to find a different pathway to go through their life, really. And for me, it's not just making it to the big leagues. There's only a small percentage chance that, you know, the kids that are going to college for baseball are going to go to the big leagues. You know, there's a very small chance. But at the same time, who's to say that a GM were to be at one of his or scouting one of his games, or, you know, a scouting director or a president of the team is looking at one of these players and they find out, like, hey, you know, what's his GPA, or, hey, what type of guy is this? You know, what type of guy is this guy? You know, he gets exposed to a coaching job, a spot in the front office, a scouting job, something like that. And it can change his life. Mm-hmm. And that honestly is what means more to me, because it's just another avenue for somebody who looks like me or anybody else to be able to better their life, really. In all honesty, there's so many avenues with this game that we see it all the time, that, you know, people are able to build a life from there. And I think right now, I don't think we're hitting the mark. I think we're in motion for it right now. I know myself and my agency, we are at that point, we are moving, we're moving the needle right now. Mm-hmm. And so that really is what means the most to me. And then also, like I said, I think probably about 2-3 minutes back, I love this game. I want to see the best players out on the field. You know, whenever I retire, I want to see this. I want to see a player being able to hit a 500-foot home run. And some people are like, oh, that's not possible. Trust me, it's possible, you know? And then, you know, I just want to see, like I said, the best players out on the field. That is how we grow the game. You know, you see, you know, let's say football, for example. You know, I have a lot of friends that play football, a lot of friends that play NFL football, et cetera. And I'm looking at these guys and I'm just like, you know, for example, a few years ago, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, I don't know how big he is. He's like 6'6", 6'7", maybe, or something like that. And he's running like a 4.5 40. I'm like, imagine if that guy had a bat in his hand or a ball in his hand, or, you know, being able to do that, you know, that guy that big, you know, just a strong yoke, just great guy in general. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, you know, what if we had that in baseball, you know, where people are actually looking at the game in a different perspective? You know, I want to see guys hitting home runs, and I'm not saying disrespect your opponent, by no means, I'm not saying that, but looking towards your dugout and saying, like, you know, let's go, this is us. Yeah, you know, I give the example of Tim Anderson a lot. You know, I absolutely love Tim Anderson, because he's not looking to disrespect anybody. He's for his team. He's for the Chicago White Sox. He's just a great guy to watch, really.
Yes. High energy. Yep. Loves to play.
Absolutely.
We need more Tim Andersons.
Yes. And you're looking at that. And you're just like, wow, you know, this guy's fun to watch. And guys, and people come in waves to watch him, along with other people, of course.
Sure, sure.
People come in, watch him, because he's one of the best players on the field. And you're like, wow, okay, this guy, you know, can do that, you know?
Yep.
Just a whole bunch of other guys. And it's just like, for example, basketball, you're looking at LeBron James all the time. You're looking at these guys that are so dominant. And you're just like, well, we have guys in baseball like that, but are we really getting the best athletes? Are we really getting the best players?
Right. And that so that leads to one of many, many questions I had for you. But one thing you mentioned in the piece, too, is that you can see it affects players as early as Little League. You say you can remember seeing things that were very eye-opening at that age that could push a black kid out of a sport before they even get a chance to get good. And that's one thing I've wondered, because I go out and try to see the best players in most draft classes, and I notice two things. One, especially at the college level, teams are predominantly white. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're all white. And it's not that there aren't black kids on campus. They're obviously playing other sports. So we lost a chance to get those kids. And even at the high school level, this isn't always true, but often I go to see a kid and the prospect I'm going to see is black, but he might be one of two black kids on his team. Mm-hmm. It's not always true, but you know, I think that ties into a lot of different points you've made, especially about the economics. But what are your thoughts on that? I think we're losing a lot of those kids, a lot of those supreme athletes that you're talking about before they even get to high school. You say we're losing them as Little League. What are some of those things that we're doing or not doing in Little League? What should we be doing differently in Little League to keep those kids in the sport?
Making it more affordable. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, you know, with anything, mm-hmm. a lot of times a lot of people think, well, it's usually money making, you know, we're trying to make as most money as possible with these tournaments, with anything and everything. And, you know, I'm not really going to use travel because everybody travels within each sport. So I think that's kind of like an invalid point, but just making it more affordable, you know, I see a lot of times, just a kid is, you know, for example, back at home, there was a, you know, one of my trainer back at home, you know, he helps out some of the kids whenever they're, you know, for tournaments and stuff like that, you know, he helps them out. And, honestly, I don't think he'll have any problem me saying this, but he helps them out really. And, you know, I'm talking to him and he's like, yeah, you know, their families are kind of like struggling right now, especially like with the virus and stuff like that. Even without even the virus, you know, mm-hmm. it's expensive, you know, to go to these tournaments, to be at the tournaments, to pay for parking. You actually have to pay for parking. You have to pay to get inside of it, inside the gates. You have to have like a 1-day pass or a weekend pass. So say if you wanted to go see your son play, you had to pay a fee to park there and then pay another fee to actually go in there and watch your son play. The kid that you gave birth to and that you're paying these people to play in the tournament with. And that's where it loses a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I even know from talking to, like I said, to my friends, it's just like, hey, T, like, I was like, man, dude, like, honestly, like, for me, back in Little Leagues, like, you know, I was pretty good in Little Leagues. I was pretty good, but there were some guys that were, like, older than I was that I'm looking at, I'm like, oh, my goodness, like, this guy is unbelievable. And he ends up mm-hmm. playing, you know, ends up playing a different sport because yep. – You know, you get to a point where you can't play rec ball anymore. You have to go and play travel ball. You have to go and play, you know, you have to go and travel, get exposure, play against the best competition and stuff like that. And so, you know, for me, I'm just kind of like, I'm just glad my parents, you know, made the sacrifice because I would have played football, really. You know, mm-hmm. that was kind of like my deal, but. I didn't like practice. I didn't like practice for football. That was my biggest thing. I could not do it. But, so making it just more affordable, I think that's what it really boils down to. And for me, that's been kind of like my thing is that, you know, I've been blessed enough to, you know, to be able to help some of these families with their, you know, with baseball, because honestly, like, I know there were times that some people helped us out, you know, and it's all about just giving back, really, for me. And if I could change a life or somebody's life to be able to get into baseball, and like I said earlier, it's not just about being a big leaguer. It's not just about this. It's to help them out to build a better life for them, wherever they are, or build a life for them. I don't want to say better, but build a life or a better life for these kids. And you see it all the time. Baseball has different outlets. Coaching, like I said, coaching, scouting, front office, you know, trainers, strength and conditioning, all of these things, staff, anything and everything. You see it all the time. And that's what I want most of all for these kids. And I don't want to say that nobody's doing anything, because I don't want to ever make it seem like that.
Right.
But I think we can do better, because I know that, you know, MLB is doing things with play ball, MLB Develop, great organizations that are helping out these kids, and, you know, a lot of other organizations that are helping out. But I honestly think we can do better. I truly do. And for me, I want to be a part of that change as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I want to make this clear, it's not just Black players that I'm helping out.
Sure.
It's for anybody, really. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make that clear, because, like, if it's any kid that I can see that I can help, I'm going to try my best to do it, no matter what type of race or ethnicity that they are. Sorry, I got a little tongue-tied.
That's okay.
But that's my biggest thing.
Sure.
And I wanted to make sure that was the staple to, like, my whole article was that some players still don't feel comfortable.
I think it came through. I think it really came through in the article. You also mentioned, and you just hinted at this too, being at the alternate site for, I think you were still with San Diego, you're referring to this, and seeing that there were only 5 Black people on the field in uniform. So there's 3 players and 2 coaches. And I've tried to make this argument every now and then for other things, like for when people put panels together on television, that representation matters. It's not just that, it's not like you're only going to listen to a coach who has the same skin color as you, but if you're a player from an underrepresented minority and you walk in and none of the coaching staff looks like you, I imagine that's got to affect you. No matter how good you are, talented you are, if you walk in and there's nobody there who looks like you, it probably makes you approach things differently. And I you brought that up. I wanted to let you expand on that a little bit. What is it like to say they're not like me? I don't look like them. And how does that change maybe how you go about your work?
Yes. So for myself and a lot of other players within the sport, we go through things as Black people that you might not understand, or some other people might not understand. And I don't think you should feel bad for it. I don't think that we should feel bad for it, but by no means. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to use my hitting coach that was with San Diego. I'm going to use Johnny Washington as an example, because I have the utmost respect for him in general, on and off the field. Johnny and I, we would talk to Jaywalk. I'm going to call him Jaywalk because that's my nickname. So, Jaywalk and I, we would talk about anything and everything. We would talk about hitting. We would talk about like all types of things, right? And Tony Tarasco, the other coach there, unbelievable guy. We would always talk about different situations that were going on in the world, and we would have conversations about, like, say, you know, the movements that were going on, the police brutality that was going on. And so we would have conversations about that. And so, you know, we would even talk about, you know, hey, man, like, Kelly, you know, did you ever have the talk? And it's like, yeah, I had the talk, you know, just about, like, just different things of, like, you know, what we've had to go through, or, hey, how did you deal with somebody calling you this? Or how did you deal with when you're on the field, somebody, you know, saying something to you, saying, hey, we need that token Black dude in here. It's like, we need that dude. And it's like, that's hurtful, you know? And Some other people might not go through that. They might deal with, hey, get this guy out of here. He sucks. He's horrible. But for me, like, it's a little bit different. Or with a lot of other guys, it's a little bit different. And, you know, you see this and you're just like, well, I have this coach that I talk to a lot. I've grown to respect him, but he's just not going to understand. Or I can try and make him understand, but he's just not going to have that life experience, if that makes sense, to understand what I'm going through. And it's like that gravitation towards somebody else that you know that has gone through some of the stuff that you're going through and have been through. And we talk about, you know, representation. You see more black kids on TV, you're going to expand the sport. You're going to make the, you know, you're going to diversify the sport, really.
Yep, absolutely.
And you're going to get that. For me, it was very tough. At certain times, it was tough for me because, you know, most of the time, I'm either the only black guy on the team. Yeah, usually. Or one or two black guys on the team out of, you know, 30 or however many, really. And, you know, it's... You almost feel kind of like guilty when you see another black guy on the other team and you go up to him and you're like, hey, man, what's up? You have our own like daps and everything like that. You have our own culture, especially if you're from like Atlanta or the South or anything like that. And you're just like, and then you like kind of like feel everybody watching. You're just like, and you're just like, my guy, you know, is my guy, you know, and you just gain that connection because you know the things that, I'm trying to think of a good I'm trying to think of an example. My high school coach Kyle Reese, we would practice we practice throughout the week, Monday through Saturday, depending on if we had games or not. And you know, we would condition every single day, and conditioning was never fun, but it made us better, right? Whenever I see guys that were in our organization at Mount Perrin in the baseball organization, we all have this bond of saying, look, man, like, you know, the like conditioning that we did, we have that connection of like, you know, somebody else from, you know, I don't know, Harrison would not know what we went through, you know, because we all got through it together. We all are, some guys are still going through it and everything like that. So we have that immediate bond of, hey, look, like, I know what you went through. This is how I got through it, and how are you feeling about it right now? And making it all connect, that's kind of like how I feel about with like the black community, really, is because we go through certain things that not a lot of people would even understand, that has kind of gotten numb to us, but we still go through it. But we also have that bond of like, okay, like, you know, I see Harold Reynolds on MLB Network, I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, that's, you know, after I get done playing, like, that's something I really think that I could do, or, you know, anything and everything, or seeing, somebody coaching, you know, Dusty Baker managing, you know, and I'm like, wow, you know, I think I could manage, you know, and having that representation of saying, hey, we can do this. It's not just, you know, it's not just football and basketball for us. You know, we can do anything in the world, really. You know, you see it with, I don't want to get, but like politics. You see it within, you know, you see it within, you know, the medical field. You see it within all of these things where you see some representation, and friends and family that I have, we're like, you know, yeah, we can do this. Like, this is what we, you know, we're more than capable of doing this. And you see this and you're like, this is what makes us like there, because we overcome a lot of stuff and we're still going and we're still striving for better. That's what I see. So when you talk about representation, I think representation, I hope I made the point.
You did.
Like, I hope I hit the nail. I really do, because I think, like you talked about, representation is huge within anything, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just showing the possibility. I see this a bit with my daughter and my partner's daughters, that just the you know, it's certainly not a perfect analog, but just the fact that they can see Kamala Harris in a debate, you know, hey, she could be vice president in a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
And, you know, how that it just changes their mindset. It's something I've obviously never gone through. Straight, white, cisgendered man, right? Everybody in power looks like me. They're just taller than I am, but they look exactly like me. There was never a point in my life where it was like, you can't do that because of how you look. So it's been hard. It's been a journey for me, at least, to understand, like, no, there's nothing in my experience that can correspond to what you would go through as a young black player in a sport that is predominantly white, for example. And part of why I loved your piece and said, no, I want to have Taylor on to talk about this is that you can talk about the value of representation. You can talk about the challenges that young players of any underrepresented minority are facing getting into baseball and sticking with baseball. Because I think your point earlier, like to take this back to where you started, like, baseball is a great sport. It is a fun sport. And I love watching the World Series or the playoffs all month. And Fernando Tatis Jr. is one of my favorite players to watch because he has such energy and joy. Javi Baez has sort of this style that drives people crazy, and I'm here for it. I'm like, no, I want more of that, more players like that. So it's not that players aren't having fun, but we're losing them. At some point between age 7 or 8 in Little League, like you mentioned in your column, and age 14 or 15 when they're getting into high school, at some point, or maybe multiple points in there, we're losing those kids. And your point seemed to be, we can start there and try to keep those kids in the sport, and we'll all be better off. The whole industry will be better off in the long run if we do that. And I just loved your thoughts and your ideas, and I wanted more of your ideas on how we can keep doing that.
Yeah, and I think for me, you know, you talked about your daughter. I think for me, the biggest thing for me is that even talking about the piece, I gain more out of it from myself because I'm even listening to, you know, my girlfriend talk about her, you know, I always listen to her and everything like that, but I'm listening to my girlfriend, her friends talking about how tough it is to be a female, you know, and, you know, the struggles that they go through. And then I've even tried to, even open my mind towards just anything and everything within our world, no matter, you know, whether it be race or gender or sexuality, anything really. I've had to open my mind because I felt like I was so closed-minded and with a lot of these things. And I'm just like, well, you know, if I'm talking about such a situation being a black male, it'd be a disservice to me if I were to just be like, you know, I'd be contradicting myself and I would be like, oh, you know, I really don't know about that, or not even try to understand what, say, my girlfriend goes through, or a woman who is in, you know, in power at a company, and listening to her struggles that she deals with daily of not trying to, well, of not being heard whenever she's in, you know, whenever she's in the boardroom or anything like that around those areas. Really, if I'm not trying to learn or trying to understand or even trying to build myself up so that I can be a better person to those people or try to be like, help them out as much as possible and trying to connect what we go through, or even putting myself aside and my problems aside and saying, hey, I actually want to learn from you because I might get something out of it. I'd be contradicting myself. And I really would not, I wouldn't be able to look at myself in the face and, you know, be satisfied.
Yep. My guest today has been Taylor Trammell. He's an outfielder in the Seattle Mariners organization. He's one of the best prospects in baseball. Not just my opinion. That's a pretty universal opinion, I think. And you should check out his piece from the Players Tribune from September 8th called Baseball is Not Black Enough. Taylor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Keith. I appreciate it.
That's all for this week's episode. Thanks so much for joining me. Thank you so much to Taylor Trammell for being my guest. Like I said, I will be on vacation next week, but there will be a new episode of this podcast appearing on Monday, November 2nd. Stay safe, everyone. Wear your masks.